The number here is 632-6901. And why don't we get on to the No Means No segment of the show. The band was interviewed in Connecticut at the Anthrax 2 weeks ago when they played with DOA and Alien Nation from New Jersey. It was a really great show. And why don't we get into some No Means No here on Turmoil.
I'm Andy from No Means No, and you're not, but you are listening to Turmoil on WUSB 90.1 FM, somewhere on Long Island, but I'm not sure.
I went home, I was feeling so alone, I was late, it was my mistake. I went to my room, I sat there in the gloom. I know I've been bad, I know it'll be bad. Down the hall, there's nowhere to go, nowhere at all. I've been bad, it was my mistake. He opens the door and his eyes are full of hate. Gives her a kick, and he slaps her around a bit. He says, shut up, you bitch. Shut up, you bitch. I'll kill you, I'll kill you. Shut up, I'll kill you. Dad keeps hitting my face, and there's blood all over the place. I said, please, Dad, please. It was my mistake.
Talking to Andy and
Rob,
John
of No Means No. They're up here in the Anthrax in Norwalk, Connecticut. This is your first American show on this tour?
No, we came all the way across the country from California and the West Coast. We've been on, what's it, 4 weeks now? 5 weeks?
4 weeks in the States so far.
Yeah. We just finished playing before we hit New York a couple days ago, 16 one-nighters in a row. It's from Salt Lake City to Richmond, Virginia.
How's the tour been going so far?
Pretty good. We're having a good time with DOA. It's really an enjoyable thing to tour with them. They're good people, and they've helped us a lot before. And they are like the originators of punk rock on the West Coast, certainly from where we come.
Right.
They're people who started the whole thing. Me and John both would. These were the kind of people we were listening to when we were getting into music, and one of the things that inspired us to get into music, mm-hmm. play live and stuff. So it's really been fun. It's really been a good experience.
Did you play New York City at all?
We've never played New York City for some strange reason. It just never worked out for some reason. This time we thought for sure with DOA we'd play New York, but for some reason the mix-up with their record company stuff, they didn't want them to play without a record, new record and stuff, so we have no gig in New York.
Any disappointment
about America? Is this your first American tour?
No, we toured summer before last. We did about 3 months in Canada and States. And then earlier on in the spring and in the middle of the summer, we did stuff down the West Coast and across the East, 4 and 3 week things.
We're never disappointed about America ever. Freaked out, perhaps. I think it's one of the strangest, most... It's like...
Intense.
It's like this great pile of garbage and shit. In which there are occasional diamonds in it, you know, but the rest of it is just it's a very insane place, I think.
What diamonds have you found here?
Greenwich Village.
Well, yeah, the odd place, the places to
lots
see.
Lots of good people
who we run across. I mean, in the midst of all this, you know, poverty and like hypocrisy and all that, you know, there's some actually like rays of light in there, you know, people. managing to get by okay and be something special. And that's nice to find when you go anywhere. It doesn't matter, just the States.
Right. Talking to people who've seen you live, they say one of the best live shows they've ever seen, Don't Miss the Band. Do you feel a little pressure on you, having this reputation precede you?
I don't know. There's still not that many people who know we even exist. So.
I think our live shows are like... I think a pop, the band, the pop group, was probably the same way. So like, every show is very different from the last show. I think our shows are very up and down. Sometimes we'll come along and we'll play something that's completely off the wall and we'll fall on our face and people just go, that's sort of, But there are other times just we'll have, you know, really great shows and people are into it and we're into it and the sound is good and everything.
It bites the rim, man.
It bites. Yeah, this is it's rank. It bites and
it's rageous. It's raw.
So you always get a different show when you come to an Omi Snow show. But they do vary a lot. I think
we have a pretty good time most of the time when we play. I think we are a better live band than on the record. I think we it's a lot more. We build on excitement of playing against a good crowd. A lot of our shows will be done simply because people aren't really that enthusiastic about it. We sort of tend to feed off. We play a place in Lexington, Kentucky, where we play in a stage which is about half the size of this room, right against the front door where the people came in, this little hole-in-the-wall club, packed with people, and they were just right into it. And it was just like a real exciting show. And then DOA came on and were really great as well. And sometimes it's just the energy of the crowd will make you play well. And we really feed off that. If people are really into it, then...
Where was Lexington?
It was Kentucky. In the Babylon.
Oh, there. Yeah, that was good.
That was a good show. Muskegon we played.
Muskegon was really good.
Often you find your best places. Shows are these small places.
Detroit was a drag. It was the most... Oh, I couldn't believe it. Like we come on, something real weird, so I figure, okay, well, people can't get into it. There's a few people on the stage who are gawking at us. So, and then DOA comes on, and... Anyway, there's a rockin' set, and the same people are standing in front of the stage. What do you want? You want us like to do like juggle or like set fire to ourselves? So I don't know. But sometimes it's just, you know, the day of the week it is, mood people are in. Yeah. It's hard to say. You can't really blame people.
Yeah, I'd say DOA is the same. It's like they are a little more consistent. They're a little more professional about it. But if the audience is good, the show's going to be good. If the audience is great, the show is going to be great, right? Mm-hmm. But it works totally as a partnership.
Yeah. Now, the new record is out, Sex Mad, put out by Alternative Tentacles. You had a 45 before that, or another album before that? On
We had a 45 7-inch EP, and we had an album that was quite a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, which is just now on cassette. We have a few cassettes with us. First album we did, which is a much more jazzier sounding album. It's when we were just the two-piece, and before Andy had joined the band. And it's got a few overdubs of keyboards and guitar, but basically it's just bass and drums and vocals. And it's much different sounding than the last album. Although we still play that material. We don't play it on this tour because we've got a lot of new material and we're trying to break in for the next album. But that should be released along with the EP, You Kill Me EP, which was the last thing we did in Canada before we signed up with Alternative Tentacles. So both those things should be coming out, as well as a new album. Hopefully we'll have like 4 well-distributed pieces of vinyl out in the American market.
So you guys have been around a long time then?
In the present form, we've been around about 5 years. well, 4.5 years.
Yeah, but
and we played about 2 years before that as a two-piece, me and my brother, just as a rhythm section with vocals. And before that, we played just in the basement recording stuff. We put out, like, say, two of these old pieces of vinyl came out before we ever played live. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been doing it for about 8 years, me and my brother. Anyway.
I really love the record. I'll come right out and say I'm a big fan of yours without even having seen the band live.
Well, thank you.
And the record just blew me away, especially you know, since I've heard of the band, but I've never heard any of your music before. Alternative Tentacles record is the first one I've heard from you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go with Alternative Tentacles to reach the larger audience?
Well, we were just looking for someone basically to do it in the States. We'd never had a record distributed properly in the States. We'd only been on, say, a company called Psych in Montreal, which is, I mean, almost defunct now. And of all the people we got in contact with, Alternative Tentacles was the only one that really looked good. There were people who were into it for the music's sake and had some sort of political consciousness. And, you know, were people like Relativity or Combat Records or people like that who were just basically small record companies. There's no difference between them and Warner's, except for Warner's has millions and they have hundreds of thousands. I mean, the same attitude is the same, good or bad. I mean, they're just businesses, right? And so we lobbied heavy ourselves and with people who knew us and friends, and eventually we got to know the people in Alternative Tentacles by going down there and playing. They came out and saw us and they liked us. And Jello didn't quite might like much like the vinyl we'd done before, but then we did this new album by ourselves for Psych in Montreal. It's licensed to AT actually, and we sent him down the finished product, the tapes and stuff, and he thought that finally captured what we did live. And so he said, okay, go ahead. And that was really good. It was really lucky for us. That's the company we wanted to be on. We are.
Now, the sound really can't be described as punk because you sort of take punk a little bit further, sort of like the Butthole Surfers. I really don't want to make comparisons.
Yeah. That's been made before the Butthole Surfers, but...
We're a lot straighter, I'd say. We don't experiment as much sound-wise. We do maybe do a little musically. Mm-hmm. We try to do different things. We don't really try to go for the sonic effects of a lot of bands like Sonic Youth or Butthole Surfers. Mm-hmm. Right? But you're right, our basis is solidly in hardcore music,
right?
But I mean, I think the punk rock always was like, do what you want to do, just do it as hard and as pure as you can do it, and that's what we try to do. And I don't really see any reason to restrict your playing musically to in any sort of straight style of music. You know, we can't play this because it ain't punk or whatever. Just play anything you want, whatever fits the song. I think in this band, it's the songs that are important. We write songs as entities in themselves and fit the style of music and the production and the feel, the tempo, whatever, to the song, not to a certain preconceived idea of what the music should be, you know, stylistically or anything. I want the pain, I want to hold it on.
Well, lyrically, there's quite a change between, say, the first song of the album, Sex Mad, and then you go into Dad.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, one song's talking about, you know, I really want to make love to you, some sort of that type of vein, and the next song's talking about, like, sexual abuse or, like, child abuse.
Yeah.
I guess Dad can be, you know,
I'd say
taken as that.
Well, Sex Mad, my brother wrote, and it's just a bit of that, an expression of the energy, right? And good or bad, or it's just like the urge.
Yeah, it's not trying to say, like, it's not really an oh, baby, I love you, I need you. It's more like, basic, I want to fuck my It's kind of like, it's all about testosterone poisoning, essentially.
Yeah, we tend to play around the subject, usually showing a lot of the negative sides of how people interact on a sexual level or an individual level, how they treat each other as people, you know, the preconceived ideas they have and how those things can be very destructive.
Right.
I think Dad is a lot like that, Love Thang is like that.
What's that little piece before Love Thang with all the initials there, FC?
Called No F***ing. And we decided not to put no fucking...
Because we figured AT was in enough trouble already at the time.
It sort of came out as no fig nigga
goody. It's Inuvik.
It's just an anagram, basically.
It says, all I see are cocks and cunts, all I hear are pushing grunts. I don't like it.
That's
the whole song.
Actually, the song, you have the American edition, the alternative technical edition? That's just lyrics, actually, in the Canadian edition that's got all music. We just left out the music for the American.
The acapella version. You should try to check out the Canadian version.
If you can get a copy. Canadian actually sounds a little better. It's got a little
more
bottom.
Hardcore sound, right?
Yeah. It's a little better mixed. That the whole album is a better sound to it.
Really?
American. Yeah. It's got another song. It's got a song called Hunt the She Beast, which is in lieu of Love Thang on the American. So they're two different songs.
Now, Love Thang is sort of used like the megaphone. Is that what it's called?
Well,
I might have. It might have been better if we used a megaphone. We did a demo of it a couple of years back and got a great effect on it. Then when we tried to duplicate it a couple times, we just kept on fucking it up. We had equipment that was too good to actually get the shitty
kind of sound that we were looking for.
Yeah, so it didn't come out at the very end quite as good as we had hoped, but it was just, it was sort of an okay song for a while, and then we recorded it once and found this effect, and it just seemed like it made the song, so. Mm-hmm.
Actually, we remixed it. There was an original mix of it, and then Jello said he'd rather have that on than Love Thang for the American. And
rather than Shibi.
Shibi. So we went and remixed it, and it turned out to be really weird. We thought it was like an abortion for a while, but then having heard it recently with sort of some distance, the weirdness sort of kind of helps it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is, I think it's the most off-the-wall one on the record in terms of production and stuff like that.
A one, a two, a one, two, a one, two, three, four.
All I see are cocks, guns, all I hear are push grunts. All I see are cocks and guns, I push and grunts. I don't like it. All I see are cocks, guns, all I hear are push grunts. All I see are cocks and guns, I push and grunts. I don't like it. All I see are cocks, guns, all I hear are push grunts. All I see are cocks and guns, I push and grunts.
Play around in the studios then and try different effects. You know,
we, as much as possible, of course, like we did this album in 6 days on a budget of like $2,500, right? On our level, it's really hard to have a lot of time to screw around. You should go in there and know what you want to do and try to get as quick as possible.
Right.
We're going to do another album as soon as we get home, around the second week of December. We're going to record a new album, so hopefully we'll have a little more time. We're going to do it in a bigger studio in Vancouver instead of at home in Victoria where we live.
and hopefully it'll be a little better sound-wise. With the songs, you'll have to judge yourself. It's hard to say.
You first brought up Jello through some opinions on what to put on the album. Did he play a big part in...
No, he's a person with a lot of ideas, and he will give you suggestions about everything.
Whether you like it or not.
And whether you like it or not. But I must say that anything we want to really do, all we have to say is this is the way we want it. And they may argue a little bit, but they've never given us any sort
of bottom line for alternative tentacles is if the band wants it that way, that's the way it is. I mean, we always appreciate people coming up to us and saying, well, you know, have you, you know...
Thought
of this song, that's kind of shakier. This song's your strongest song, because often we don't know ourselves.
We changed the order of the second side for Jello. He wanted Self Pity to open the album. The second side, and originally it was at the end.
And it works better, too. Song.
Yeah, and I think it probably does work better. You know, little things, I mean, if someone's got a good idea, it doesn't, you know, discard it just because someone else had the band.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you guys for taking the time out.
Okay, there you have it. Interview with No Means No, recorded up at the Anthrax in Norwalk, Connecticut about 2 weeks ago when they played with DOA and Alien Nation from New Jersey. Too bad they didn't get to play New York. Really fine band. Three-piece, and all three are up front. The drums aren't put in the back. They're put right up front on the right of the stage. No Means No, during that set we heard Dad, Obsessed, Sex Mad, and Self. Well, we're going to end up with Self Pity from that band. Just a few quick notes. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The show is called Turmoil. And on Sunday, December 13th, there's going to be a show at a place called Club Refuge, whatever, at the Rainforest. Can't even read this. And featured will be Doomsday and Morbid Curiosity. That's Sunday, December 13th, 9:30 p.m. to 4 a.m., 18 and over. And you have to be 21 to drink. And that's at the Rainforest in Smithtown with Doomsday, Morbid Curiosity. That wraps it up for me, Steve Kreitzer. I'll be back again next Wednesday night at 10:30, continuing running down the best of 1987. The number here is 632-6901. Call up with your favorite compilations of 1987. Let me know, and we'll play them on December 30th. Ending up with No Means No, this is Self Pity here on Turmoil.
town camp, an American student standing over here in West Germany. Even in Germany, I've heard of WUFB. Supposedly the most dangerous station in the nation. So happy 10th anniversary, WUFB.